faced a mountain that I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. I need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way. But this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need you, Lord, and I'm not ashamed to say, oh, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes I believe.
You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from the AULC Ministries. Find us on Facebook, Roku, Amazon Fire TV and TalkShoe. And be sure to visit www.aulc.us.
Hello and welcome to the AULC Ministries. I'm Reverend Dr. Rob White here with Lord's Message this week. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's get on with our service. If you join me, please. Heavenly Father, we ask that you be with us today as we go through this service. We're still social distancing. We're still hunkered down. Many of us are still staying at home and keeping away from this coronavirus. We just ask the Lord that you be with us each and every day. Keep us safe. Put a hedge of protection around us so that we don't get this virus and just be with those that have it, that they can get through it. Be with those that are in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, so that we can get this cleared up, Lord, so we can get back to worshiping properly. Even though we're social distancing, we're on the internet, we are being separated, we're coming together thanks to the internet, thanks to this technology of live streaming. So we thank you for that, Lord. Be with us each and every day, and be with us as we go through our service today. We ask this in your Son Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our gospel message today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. That's Matthew 10, 24 to 39. A disciple is not above his teacher or a slave above his master. It is enough for a disciple to become like his teacher and a slave like his master. If they called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Therefore, don't be afraid of them, since there is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. When I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. When you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. Don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. And even the hairs of your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid, therefore, you are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who will acknowledge me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Don't assume that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. The person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Anyone finding his life will lose it, and anyone losing his life because of me will find it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his words. Now this is the third part of Matthew's missionary discourse. In these verses, Matthew collects a number of related sayings of Jesus having to do with committed discipleship in the face of conflict. These verses are rooted in the history of Israel, famous for persecuting prophets, as we see in Second Chronicles, Luke, Acts, and Hebrews. The point is that if prophets suffered persecution and Jesus suffered crucifixion, Jesus' disciples can expect similar rough treatment. For first world Christians, this text seems alien or extreme. We've not been maligned for our faith. Nobody has threatened our lives. Being a Christian has not required cross-bearing. And for most of us, church membership has led to friendships, even some jobs and sales. It's very different elsewhere in the world, though. But even in the first world, the climate is changing. Public school teachers are hesitant to say anything favorable about the Christian faith. The entertainment industry delights in portraying Christianity in a negative light. Journalists ignore the church's good work, but they delight in reporting its misdeeds. Fundamentalist Muslims target infidels, Christians, and others who do not share their beliefs, even imposing the death penalty on those who convert to Christianity. Now, we might be nearing a day when first world Christians will find faith dangerous. In the decade ahead, these dangers and hard choices of which Jesus speaks in this gospel today might become very real to us. Now, Christians might once again learn what it means to suffer for Christ. They also might learn what it means to bear a cross, or to be persecuted, or to find families divided over issues of faith, to suffer beatings, or even martyrdom. We might discover what it's like to live in a world that equates evangelism with proselytizing, where the legal system prosecutes as hate mongers those who proclaim the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. That is the world in which millions of Christians live today, and we should not imagine that it could not happen here. Now, in verse 32 of our text today, Jesus says, "Everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Now, what does it mean to confess Jesus? All right, some translations say acknowledge instead of confess. So, what does it mean to acknowledge Jesus? He says, "Everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven." Now, whether we use the word confess or we use the word acknowledge, Jesus means that he expects us to give some sort of public witness by word or deed that we accept Jesus as Lord. When Jesus said that he knew he was going to die on a cross and he knew that life for his disciples would be hard, he warned his disciples that their lives would be no easier than his. Although at the time, his disciples didn't understand how difficult that might actually be. Jesus went on to tell his disciples to have no fear of his opponents. He says in verse 28 today, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul." Now that's scary talk right there. I don't know about you, but I fear those who can kill the body. I try to be careful where I walk at night. I lock my doors because killing the soul is bad, but killing the body, well, that's not so great either. But it was in this context of such warnings that Jesus said, "Everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Jesus was telling his disciples that he expected them to remain faithful, to continue their public witness even in the face of danger. "Everyone who confesses me before men, regardless of the consequences, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven." Now, when Jesus promised to acknowledge his disciples in heaven, he was pointing toward the great day at the end of history when the Son of Man will gather us before his throne to determine whether we are sheep or whether we're goats, the sheep being rewarded, the goats being punished. Jesus was promising on that day to those who had been faithful to usher them into the heavenly kingdom. We see that in Matthew 25. Now, with that scene in mind, he also promised that everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. He went on to warn in verse 33, "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who's in heaven." He was telling the disciples, he was telling us, that Christian discipleship is an either-or proposition. He expects our loyalty, even though when the going gets tough. Now, sadly for Christians, it isn't unusual for the going to get tough. You would think that people would welcome Christians. They would even encourage Christians. They would be drawn to the witness of their lives. But that, however, is often not the case. Christians have the habit of telling the truth, even when the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes Christians must say, "Well, the emperor is naked. he has no clothes. Sometimes Christians must say that the rich and famous are stealing from the poor. And as a result, Christians who do the right thing often find themselves mainly in hot water. That's what happened to Martin Niemöller. Niemöller was a Lutheran pastor in Berlin when Hitler came to power. Niemöller protested Nazi interference in the church affairs and the Nazi persecution of Jews. He started the movement that grew to become the Confessing Church, a church that opposed Hitler and his policies. Hitler hated Niemöller, and in 1938 he had him arrested. Niemöller, though, was a brave man, but he feared what lay ahead. Then, as he was being led down a long corridor to the courtroom where he would be tried, he heard a voice quietly quoting, in Latin, from Proverbs 18:10. Nomen Domini Turris Fortissimo. That means the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That voice was one of the guards. Now, the Latin was from the Catholic liturgy, which is surely how this guard knew it. But Niemöller, he knew the words as well. Nomen Domini Turris Fortissimo. The Lord is a strong tower. It was a call for Niemöller to have courage, even as he entered the lion's den. These words gave Niemöller strength to face what lay ahead. Now, when I read that story, I was amazed not only at Niemöller's courage, but also at the courage of that guard. If anyone else had understood his words, the guard would have shared Niemöller's fate. I won't know that guard's name until I get to heaven, but I think of him as one of the great heroes of the Christian faith. Nomen Domini Turris Fortissimo. The Lord is a strong tower. There's a footnote here. Niemöller was imprisoned at Dachau, where so many had died. He survived 7 years in that concentration camp. He survived to help rebuild the church in Germany and to lead his people to face their guilt and his own guilt. He's famous for these words. First, they came for the communist, and I did not speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And finally, they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out. So Jesus said, everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. Christians are being persecuted in many countries around the world today. China is one of those countries persecuting Christians. Being a Christian in China has never been easy, but it has become far more difficult, far more dangerous in recent years. Now, while we can't know for sure how many Christians there are in China, we believe there might just be as many as 100 million Christians, more Christians than there are members of the Communist Party. But in 2018, President Xi began applying pressure to bring the church under his control. He shut down thousands of churches, he arrested thousands of Christians, and arrested a number of pastors. Among the imprisoned pastors is John Sanquang Chow, who for 7 years delivered aid to the neighboring Myanmar. This comes from the Wall Street Journal article dated May 31st, 2019, called Inside China's War on Christians. Now Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. On Easter Sunday 2019, suicide bombers in Sri Lanka attacked Christian worshippers during Easter worship, killing 250. Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. In Iraq, the Islamic State practiced genocide against Christians, reducing a thriving Christian minority nearly to extinction. Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. Brings me to this question. What are you doing to acknowledge Jesus publicly? What are you doing to spread the word about Christ? When the time comes for you to stand before Christ, how will you respond when he asks you, what did you do to acknowledge me? What will you say? There are many ways to confess Christ publicly. Your presence here in worship today publicly acknowledges your faith. When you teach a Sunday school class or sponsor a youth group, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you read your children a Bible story or have a prayer with them at bedtime, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you pray before eating, especially when you're at a public restaurant, when you pray before eating, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you give money to support the church, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you donate money for disaster relief, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you do an act of kindness for a person in need, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you stand up for the poor and oppressed, you are confessing your faith in Christ. When you lead a Bible study, you're confessing your faith in Christ. When you render any service to the church, whether it's sweeping the floor or washing the dishes or fixing a broken handrail, guess what? You're confessing your faith in Christ. None of those things are especially costly or difficult, except in the many nations where Christians are persecuted. The question is whether you are doing them. If you were to die tonight and have to explain how you acknowledge Christ, how would you answer? The final question is, if those things become costly or difficult, would you continue to acknowledge Christ? Would you continue to serve Christ? Would you continue to witness to Christ? If Nazis or communists or Muslim extremists were to seize control, would you continue in your faithful witness? Isaac Watts was a very bright preacher's kid who grew up in England. At that time, music in the church consisted primarily of crude adaptations of the Psalms, poorly written and poorly sung. When Watts complained to his father about the music, his father invited him to write something better. Watts did so, composing his first hymn that very night. And during his lifetime, he wrote hundreds of hymns, many of which are among our favorites yet today. Hymns such as Joy to the World and O God, Our Help in Ages Past. One of his finest hymns is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, written originally as a communion hymn. It focuses on the cross of Christ and calls us to devoted discipleship in response to Christ's love. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Jesus says, "Everyone, therefore, who confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the Word of God, and this is our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Stay tuned for just a few minutes after our service today to hear this great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words today, your words of encouragement, your words of just letting us know where we stand, to how to help us. We just ask, Lord, that you'll be with us in the coming days. Put a hedge of protection around us. Keep us safe, whether we're walking down the street or we're driving across the state, whatever it is, maybe just walking across our living room. Keep us safe, Lord, and be with us, each and every one. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us, the blessings we've received, and we ask you continue to bless and keep us, Lord. We ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen. Go out this week and be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for coming, and I hope to see you all next week. Thank you. My richest gain.